Welcome to the intersection of where technology meets transformation. Brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In this episode, we'll be talking about building a better business model for IT. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and my guest today is Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. Doug, as always, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jason.
So let me start by setting a little context for our discussion today. In the past, we've talked a lot about how cloud and virtualization changes an agency's infrastructure. But the whole point of these efforts across the government is to change business processes and improve service delivery. Now, attempts to transform government aren't new. The Obama administration held a day-long conference and issued a report in March 2010 focusing on recommendations to improve federal services from the private sector. This administration forum reinforced the visionary leadership, strong day-to-day management, detailed reporting through valuation of processes, and ongoing reviews of customer needs are true drivers of success. A disciplined management framework allows technology to be deployed effectively and enables dramatic productivity improvements. When implemented without this management framework, technology is often wasteful and distracting, according to the White House's March 2010 report. Now, these findings are very similar to others. McKinsey & Company found there are two kinds of transformation, government-wide and agency-wide. Both require specific steps to change culture, increase productivity, and efficiency. Let me go into the McKinsey report real quick. It finds, in researching more than 90 governments, that success factors include leadership and how they define aspirations, take risks, and empower employees to implement transformation. On the agency-wide transformation front, McKinsey researched more than 2,600 agency-level transformations and found that the keys are paying equal attention to performance management and leadership issues, and long-term leadership and workforce stability are big reasons for success. How can agencies change their business model to be more responsive to customers? We're going to discuss that new business model, what it looks like, and why it needs to be changed in the first place. So with that context in place, let's turn to Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer at the VMware U.S. public sector. Now, Doug, why do we have to change? I like this chance, this business model. It works. It's worked for years. Why does it have to change now?
Well, I think many would argue that perhaps it hasn't worked for years. But let's take a step back for a second and start with, well, what is a business model? Because I think that could be a point of confusion that requires clarification. I mean, generally speaking, a business model is a combination of things that involve defining a product or a service, matching that product or service to the needs of the customers or end users, developing and delivering that product or service, developing a pricing model, marketing it and selling it, and then ultimately supporting it. So it's kind of the entire process of looking at the product or service as a business. And as you know, businesses have customers, businesses have pricing, businesses have profitability and cost structures and all of that associated with it. So it's a little bit of all of that. But traditionally, IT organizations don't have a business model. And I think that they have tried for many, many years to present the appearance that they have one, that they have often referred to as delivering their IT infrastructure or IT applications or their capabilities to their end users as services, but they really haven't been doing it in a services-based model. So there is a real need to actually define what the business model is for the IT organization and to do that in a way that the mission or the agency really needs it to be done so that it's useful and valuable and not only adds value, but is economical and meets the needs of the agency.
So if I'm a CIO listening to this, I'm going to be scratching my head going, no, Doug, that's not right. In fact, we have been meeting the needs. I mean, we've heard for decades, IT is just an enabler. What makes you say that? What are you seeing from your customers in the private sector, in the public sector, that this model is not working? Why is it broken?
So the traditional approach to IT basically involves the business or the mission area making a request of some sort. So they basically, I need this. IT does its best to define that requirement, understand what it means, orders equipment so that they can deploy something on that equipment. They build it, and then they ask users to test it. So there's not a lot of dialogue between the end users and IT throughout this process. And then ultimately, this traditional approach doesn't work for several reasons. IT rarely knows what the business or mission really needs. Okay, there's just it's a well-documented subject matter expertise gap between IT and the business. In addition, the business or the mission can rarely describe upfront what it needs accurately. In other words, they think they know, but they have a very difficult time describing it with precision, and it changes. By the time IT can develop the requirements, order the equipment, and deploy it, the business needs, even if they were articulated accurately upfront, they change by the time that process gets carried out. And then, of course, this approach is very, very costly, requiring substantial upfront investment, particularly in the capital equipment, and it's complicated as well. And therefore, it's very risky, which means with high risk and this lack of clarity of information needs and whatnot, there's a large percentage of times when the end result isn't what the business or mission really needs.
It seems what you just described there is every failed federal IT project that we've talked about over the years. Why did it develop this way? Is it just a lack of communication? Did the IT folks not want to hang out with the business folks?
Well, it's a combination of things. Some of it is lack of expertise or experience in the IT area in terms of what the mission really, what is the work being carried on there? That's some of it. Some of it is because of the traditional approaches to IT that were driven by the assets themselves. In other words, IT's real core specialty was ordering, deploying, and managing the equipment. But as you know, the equipment in itself adds no value to the business or the mission. So in some ways, though, this emerging capability, this cloud computing has actually facilitated the opportunity for IT to really truly become services based. It's an enabler of that transformation in itself.
And that's exactly where we're going next with this conversation. When we talk about change, why are we changing now? And I think you answered it because you said the emerging capabilities are on cloud, virtualization. So how does it need to change? Is it just a matter of, well, now that we're in the cloud, we're going to be dependent on others to deploy technology? Or what is the change that we're going toward?
In case you haven't heard, the IT industry is undergoing a massive transformation to this services-based approach. And as I mentioned, this transformation is enabled by these new technologies such as cloud computing, but it goes much, much deeper than that. The new business model for IT needs these elements such as a clearly defined portfolio of service options for the business. And this is, I can tell you from my experience when I was on the government side, you know, deploying these kinds of services, it is not easy for traditional IT people to sit down and say, okay, what is the service that the business really needs? And I use the example of, is a service ordering and deploying a laptop for a new employee? Or is the service onboarding the new employee and delivering a great experience for that individual as they join your agency? Actually, both are valid services. It depends, right? It depends on how you want to define your service offering and bring that to market. So that's just one piece. You just got to know what those services are. Then you need a 100% transparent cost model that includes your entire cost structure to provide that service. And by that, I mean the direct costs, meaning the software, the hardware, the labor that's necessary to deploy and support it, as well as the indirect costs, you know, the HVAC and the electricity and the overhead being allocated to those services as well. It needs to be 100% transparent. And then several aspects of automation are involved in enabled by these new technological developments, like an online portal for users to simply access the portal and request the services that they want, and an online automated business workflow that verifies the validity of the request, checks against available funds, ensures the proper approvals have been received, and then an automated mechanism for carrying out the request so that the end user gets almost immediate access to this offering, assuming that the checks are there for funding and approvals and so on and so forth. And then finally, there needs to be access to performance and benchmarking information for the alternative options to be considered so that the business can make informed decisions about which service, at which cost, at which performance level, and even which security level that they really need so that it meets all of their needs.
So the way you describe that really stands out to me as a private sector model. You know, when I go to Verizon, I can look at X or Y and buy my service that way, or I can go to Comcast and buy something else and do the compare and contrast. But one thing with agencies is sometimes they have no other options. For instance, you know, if they want a laptop, usually the onboarding process, they can't go to, you know, if interior department can't go to agriculture to get their onboarding done. So why is the cost model so important?
Well, the cost model is important, obviously, for a couple of reasons. One is that you, as the provider, in this case, I'm talking to the IT organization and its leaders, need to know what the total costs are of this particular service. One, so you can't manage, you can't lead what you don't know, right? So you got to be able to measure that. But two, you need to be looking at viable alternatives, whether they're inside delivered internally or they're delivered externally, so that you can gradually make decisions about how you want to get your portfolio of services. Some of them will be provided much more efficiently externally than you can provide internally. Some you're never going to want to push externally, but you need to be able to make that decision informed. In other words, go in with your eyes wide open. And then your end users are never, ever, 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 and I can't emphasize this enough, ever going to trust you if they don't know what the cost structure looks like.
I think that was six evers, by the way. One thing that the GSA and OMB are leading is that benchmarking of those back office costs, the administrative costs. And in fact, just a recent hearing, Dan Tangerlini from GSA talked about this idea. So I think where agencies are going down that path of that cost model to better understand what's costing them, you brought up the idea of also knowing what your portfolio is. There are going to be decisions that IT organizations have to make of we're going to offer this and we're not going to offer that because there's a limit to resources. How do you make that decision too? Because from an IT perspective, sometimes you just want to offer it all.
I can speak from experience from my days as a CIO. The human nature is to want to be able to provide all of that yourself. You have pride in your organization. You know the people. You know their strengths. You know that you're developing them in certain ways. And you have confidence that they can carry this out, right? So you want to do that. But the reality is, particularly with where the private sector has gone, how much progress they've made in these areas of cloud computing and other as-a-service offerings, that there are now some of the most economical, reasonable performance for the cost, and acceptable security, and these are important characteristics, right, can be provided. For example, some things like training administration systems, right? The basics of that are probably better provided externally than internally. And then some things like high security defense mission, support applications are best provided internally in that. And so there are certain characteristics of where the market is going that they've made so much progress and being able to provide these services at an acceptable level that the IT organization has to be able to make objective decisions on that cost, performance, security profile for on a application by application basis.
All right, we know what the problem is. We know what the solution is. Now we're going to talk about how to get there. But first, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Intersection, where technology meets transformation. Brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In this episode, we're talking about building a better business model for IT.
Discover how the software-defined enterprise is transforming the delivery and consumption of IT with VMware at intersectiongov.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Intersection, where technology meets transformation. Brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In this episode, we're talking about building a better business model for IT. I'm your host, Jason Miller. I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware US Public Sector. Now, Doug, before we break, we outlined the problem. Why is the business model broken? We outlined where it needs to go. Now, let's talk about in this section, how do we get there? Because the as is, the to be, but it's always that transition plan when we bring back the enterprise architecture. So from your perspective, what are the first steps that an agency has to take to begin to change to a better business model?
There's generally three phases to this transition. The first phase is very much foundational, and that is really for IT to get a handle on the cost structure. And I think every IT organization will tell you we have a handle on our cost structure, and that's probably true, but it's done in very antiquated, very spreadsheet-driven, very cumbersome, very brittle ways. And so this first phase involves really putting in a modern kind of services-based oriented cloud tool to capture the costs, the total costs of IT in the traditional ways. We call that budget object class ways in the budget nomenclature of the government. And that's capturing the hardware costs, the software costs, the labor costs, and so on and so forth. And then allocating those to a couple of different structures. The first structure would be a technology structure, which would say, for example, our server farm costs this much, and our storage network costs this much, and our data network costs this, and our voice costs this, and so on and so forth. And being able to look at it, even to say, look, our total costs within this one data center are this compared to the total costs within this other data center look like this. So that's one level of pivoting, if you will. Then the next level is really where it gets extremely powerful, and that's pivoting and aligning those costs on a service-by-service basis, which is then being able to say, look, it costs you this much per user for, mobile services, or it costs you this much per user for payroll services, right? And then have that be totally, you can drill down into that and look at it a bunch of different ways. So that's the first and fundamental foundational element to it. But in order to do that, the IT organization has to have a well-defined services portfolio, and that, as we mentioned before, can be challenging. And then it kind of is a corollary to this. There's an aspect of organizational change that's required even in the first phase, and that is these new roles are created in the IT organization, like services architect and sometimes services owner, to define the characteristics of the services, to interact with the users in a way that's never been done before, and to be the owner, to actually be responsible for the development, deployment, and meeting the service levels on that.
One thing about that you're bringing up is the inventory of services that you want to provide and then the cost. It sounds to me like if you can't know the cost until you have the inventory. So the inventory is really the first step for a lot of agencies?
Absolutely. At the very first step, it's just capturing the baseline information. And that includes the asset inventory, but it also includes the operations and maintenance and costs associated with that infrastructure, and then, you know, the people that support it, and so on and so forth. And that's just gathering the basics, right, from a bunch of different sources, right? So it's kind of gathering inputs from a bunch of different areas at one time.
And once you know your costs, then you can also say, well, for 1,000 people, we can, that's affordable. But once we get to 1,001 people, well, that really makes us start thinking we need to look at other options. I mean, that's really what we're getting to in the end is making those cost analysis options.
We might be jumping ahead a little bit, but definitely.
Were we in phase three? Did I take you to phase three?
You took me right from phase one to phase three, but that's okay.
Let's go to phase two then. Tell me what phase two is, then you'll hit my question.
Phase two of implementing a business model for IT is very much geared at operationalizing the approach within the operations, and that entails essentially once the services-based costs are identified, then the natural next question becomes, well, how do we compare to other options? The natural next step is to implement and establish a benchmarking capability comparing against like options that are provided externally. And again, since a tool was implemented in the initial phase, it is much easier to regularly review the costs of the services against a plan. So that's what I mean by operationalizing, is saying, okay, well, we planned to offer this service at this cost. How are we doing against that in the first quarter, in the second quarter, and so on and so forth? And it can be done broadly by service. In other words, all customers for this service, desktop as a service, right? What does that cost look like? Or on a service-by-service basis across the entire portfolio, or on a customer-by-customer basis. So it can be sliced, it can be diced, it can be looked at. You know, this customer, Agency X, is buying these 10 services. Let's look at it in terms of how much it's costing them, and so on and so forth. And so this also provides information that affects the investment planning process, because the data that's gathered through this can help facilitate investment decisions and even contribute to overall, like, budget level setting, right? Which is to say, how much should we budget for desktop as a service for the fourth quarter or for the next year, right? And then having that data and then being able to project, it becomes much more consumption driven based on what the plan is. And in some ways, having a tool and the benchmarking capability, also organizations will want to build on that and incorporate some aspect of vendor performance. So imagine it, for example, the IT organization has three or four different contracts and contractors they're using to provide this, again, call it desktop as a service. It's an easy example. They need to manage the performance of the vendors that they're relying on to deliver their service level commitments to the agency and end users, so that they need some aspects of vendor performance management built in as well. So this is kind of all these features of operationalizing it in phase two of the business model.
Okay, so phase one, we have figure out your costs, have your inventory of services. Phase two then goes to benchmarking, understanding what the costs are compared to other costs. Now we go to phase three. Hopefully that's where my idea comes in of saying, hey, this costs aren't worthwhile anymore.
Exactly. Phase three is really what I call optimization. So that's getting much more mature in assessing what if scenarios, as you were describing earlier, right? What if it takes 20 more people to support what the planning process told us was going to be the required support next year? It's going to become cost prohibitive for us to do this. That's one aspect of what if. Another is, essentially, it's an example of integrating it into a more mature approach to governance for the IT as a service organization in general. Decisions affecting the portfolio of services, the priorities, deployment approaches, which agency goes first, can be made now with the involvement of all of the plan stakeholders. So it becomes a very much forward-looking, collaborative decision-making process. In concert with that, pricing levels and overall budgets can be set with the involvement of the customer stakeholders at the executive level across the entire user base. So then again, customers are coming in early in the process. They're saying, what's our plan for this year? Oh, our unit cost for desktop as a service is X. Okay, so if I look at my 10,000 users, they can figure out very easily, well, I need to budget this much for it. So we call that supply and demand budgeting can actually be facilitated so that, as you know, in the government, particularly for this transition to a services-based approach, there has to be a true-up at the end of the year. In other words, costs and revenues have to match essentially exactly. And that can be very, very difficult to do at the end of the year. It's a lot easier if you're managing it throughout the year.
we defined the three phases. Now, how do we get there and what are some of the things to avoid? Because I think one of the biggest challenges agencies have is, okay, great, you told me how what my end state's got to look like, but I have no idea how to get there. So what are you seeing from your customers of steps that are easily taken or maybe not so easily taken to get to move this new IT business model?
From a pitfall perspective and things to avoid, I mean, believe it or not, one thing that I see pretty prevalently across the government is the first pitfall is the assumption that you don't need a tool for cost transparency, which is, again, that assumption that we already have a handle on our costs, which, again, might be the case. However, in a services-based deployment model based on cloud computing, that transparency needs to be provided and updated on a basically daily or weekly basis. It needs to be almost real-time for the end users to be able to have clarity on their ongoing usage against their annual budget, because even though cloud computing takes you to a transition, this IT as a service transitions you over to a consumption-based model, you still have to live within the annual budget of the structures of the government. So it needs to be much more real-time. So then the first pitfall is I don't need a tool. Another is to stop short and only deploy the cost management, the cost transparency capability, and forego the benchmarking and performance management capabilities, right? So in other words, to say, well, we'll just implement this piece and not these other two pieces. Well, as I described earlier, the benchmarking and performance management and the cost transparency all come together as critical components of a more comprehensive business model. So ultimately, my view is you really can't have a business model without all of those elements together. You have to have cost transparency. You have to know how you compare to the other options, and you have to be able to deliver a performance expectation that you've told your customers you're going to deliver for the costs that you're charging them. And finally, this is a major one, is the failure to take a strategic approach to governance. In other words, once the business model is in place, it creates a unique opportunity for the IT organization to become much more inclusive with their customers at the executive level, much more collaborative around the governance of the entire services portfolio, pricing model, cost structure, and so on and so forth. And ultimately getting closer to the end users in the mission and across the agencies is really the best step that IT can really make at this point.
All right, Doug, we're just about out of time, but before I let you go, I think what people need to know is when you look through these steps and you start off, what's out there that can help them? Do you have any areas, any ways to say, hey, here's a good place to start to understand this new business model?
There's a lot of documentation out there. There's some studies, I think you even referred to some, about the importance and the linkage. Ultimately, it's about closing the gap between IT and the mission in terms of the value that IT provides to the end mission. And that has been an elusive goal for most IT organizations over a long period of time. So that's ultimately what it's about. So going out and pursuing the tool, the cost transparency tool, the business management, we at VMware call it IT business management, and that is the tool, the combination of the tools and the processes that enable the business model to be implemented. And the organizations, IT organizations that I've seen and helped deliver and build their services on this type of a model, they get a handle on their IT asset costs, their services cost and performance, their benchmarking, their budget alignment, and their investment decision-making. And they do that in collaboration with their end users and ultimately leads to a more trustful relationship between IT and the mission.
All right, sounds like we could talk a lot more, but unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You're listening to The Intersection, where technology meets transformation, brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my guest today was Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. Today's topic was building a better business model for IT. If you missed any of today's program, you can find the entire discussion on federalnewsradio.com/VMware. And please also visit intersectiongov.com for insights on connecting technology to transformation.
To hear this show in its entirety and learn more about how virtualization can help your agency, go to federalnewsradio.com/VMware.